And we're back with another awesome episode of Extra Credit, the show that we just take some time out of our busy day to go ahead and just sit down and just talk and kind of shoot the breeze about the most ridiculous and utterly, honestly, sometimes uninteresting, but interesting things out there.
They're like horrifyingly bad things that you want to discuss.
It's true. We've been on this kick lately. By the way, I'm your host, Eddie Villanueva, and alongside me is Spencer Williams.
Yeah, we're no here. Weird middle names today.
No, because of the fact that we really want to get into this. But before we do, we also want to let you know that we also host our main show, which is the Filmlosophers podcast. So there you can check out all the films. We have over 170 different episodes where you can catch us all. It's a show that gets in the movies you love and digs a little deeper. So check it out if you get a chance. But we are talking about Extra Credit. And on today's Extra Credit, we're talking about something that's kind of been a little bit taboo as of the last month or so. Mm-hmm. And that is the drop. Actually, about the last month. It was the drop of... Excuse me, I had to burp in the mic.
Just perfect.
It was the episode, or was the release of the Cats trailer. Now, if anybody is slightly, somewhat, incrementally familiar with Cats, Cats is the 1970s Broadway musical that was made famous by Andrew Lloyd Webber. It did its stint. It's been on Broadway forever. It's still on Broadway even now as we talk, or it's in rotation throughout the United States, which was based on a T.S. Eliot poem about cats. Ultimately, long story short, the musical is about these cats who are trying to fight for their way to get on this UFO to make it to this alien planet of some sorts. In the most basic of terms, that's what it's. So that.
I'm sorry, I never knew what the movie, the play Cats, is about.
In its most basic of terms, that's what it is. I'm trying to look for it now.
Sounds insane.
It is.
What to talk about?
But it's like that's essentially like.
Did they make it onto the UFO? Is there actually a UFO?
It tells the story of a tribe of cats called the Jellicles, and the night they make the Jellicle choice, deciding which cat will ascend to the Heaviside Lair. Heaviside Lair,
like,
and come back
religion,
to a new life.
And this sounds bad.
And that's the music.
Oh no.
Oh my gosh. So somebody decided that this musical needed to be translated in the most utmost, like, honorable form and create a movie out of it. And in terms of movies, obviously, whenever a movie comes about, you have to have a trailer.
Right.
And the you're looking at me with such disdain right
now. Because you hit me with a bus with this whole UFO nonsense.
It's because it's true. The trailer dropped like in late July. And needless to say, a lot of people are kind of getting a little scared by it. Because it looks really, really scary. Like, it looks creepy.
The thumbnail for the YouTube video, before I even clicked on it, I was like, who approved this? Because someone looked at that and was like, that's perfect. And I looked at it and I'm like, this is another one of those like secret horror movies. Like,
now we talked about it before we went on the air. We were like, all right, we need to see a quick refresher. So what we're going to do is we're actually going to play the trailer and kind of watch it in real time with everyone. So Spence has this queued up. So all we have to do is just hit space. All
right.
And see this
nonsense.
Already, it looks scary.
See, it's just plastering someone's face on some CGI body of nonsense.
I mean, what's wrong with a cat in the top hat? I'm just saying. I mean, playing the devil's advocate. This is like the most... This seems like the most prestigious furry convention I've ever seen.
Oh my gosh, it is.
Oh, poor Judi Dench. She could have been so
much
more.
No, everyone agreed to this. Poor nobody.
Poor nobody. So... I have a huge problem with this trailer, and not just the trailer, but this movie altogether. And one of my biggest issues is that the film has Rebel Wilson in it. And I cannot stand Rebel Wilson.
Okay, but like, everything is just a secondary note to these faces. They're chopped off! Where's the rest of Judi Dench's face? It's missing.
Oh, James Corden, you could have done so much better. I'm sorry. and then Jason Derulo is hurting for money. Ugh. This is where I feel the most pain. The fact that Idris Elba is
Why is he in this movie?
Well, if there was ever someone to play the big bad guy.
And Ian McKellen, both of them.
Ian McKellen's very... Oh, this is... Yeah, that's Rebel Wilson. That she needs to go. She just needs to go. Like, she really does need to go. But Spence is just shaking his head. The fact that Idris Elba is in it, I can give it a slight pass just because he plays the bad guy, Mephistopheles. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I'm saying that correctly. If you can correct me out there in the webs, let me know. James Corden, though, didn't need to be in this. Nobody, this movie just didn't need to be made.
But I feel like we live in a time where there's so many movies out there that just did not need to be made. Like, pretty much everything Disney's done, like, the last couple of years that's been live action, you didn't need to do that. Also, you can't call Lion King live action. It's CGI 100%. Just, no.
Look at everybody raising their hands in the street. That's not cute to you? Oh, my gosh.
Hey, this trailer's over.
Okay. I don't even think you stopped the trailer. You just closed your laptop. So, I mean, that's what was released back in July. And honestly, I mean, I don't know how... Anybody thought that was a good idea?
Like, I don't know. Because
so, here's the first question I want to ask you, Spence. Mm. Before we dive into that, what would you exemplify as a good trailer?
A good trailer should be what, you know, is the main point of it. Something that entices you into coming into the movie. I think where this fails is that this falls into the same trap as Sonic the Hedgehog, which is also kind of crazy. Like, both this movie and Sonic have, like, horrifying renditions of things people are kind of familiar with. People have a kind of image of Sonic the Hedgehog. He looks a certain way, and the Sonic trailer failed to give people, like, a decent rendition of Sonic.
Yeah.
The Cats trailer is based on what a cat looks like. Most people know what that is.
There you go.
No, this one misses the mark just so hard.
It's true. Like, you think about, like, great trailers in the past. I mean, you look at, like, Forrest Gump's trailer, you look at Gladiator's trailer, you look at trailers that essentially do three things. They establish the main character. They recognize the like environment or the universe the main character is going to be in, and it recognizes a sense of the struggle or the journey that character is going to be on. Mm-hmm. That's essentially what you want to know. You don't really care who the main antagonist is. You don't really care about. I mean, it's good to know all that, but a decent good trailer is going to have those three things. If I hadn't have told you what the plot of the musical was about, could you have gathered that from that trailer?
There was no UFOs or anything or whatever supposed to be in there.
It's like,
you know what was a really good trailer?
What?
The Hobbs and Shaw trailer. It's crazy that this movie, that movie got so many things right. And I was like, it was like, had a good trailer.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good movie. Just all around really good. Like, these high budget things that should be really good aren't, because, like, I don't know who's making the decisions. They're not doing the right things.
I think what, okay, so we talked about what a good trailer looks like. What are some of the more disturbing things about this one, this particular trailer?
Okay, well, I suppose once you move past the face issue,
mm-hmm.
which is really my main sticking point for the whole
concept. It is pretty scary.
I get it's a musical, but it doesn't really, I don't know what's going on,
mm-hmm.
or like even who are people supposed to, which ones are the bad cats and which ones are the good cats?
I know it's true. Like, there's no differentiating, like at least with something like West Side Story, mm-hmm. or even Warriors. Anything that has to do with, like, warring factions, individuals who are on opposite sides,
mm-hmm.
there's something to differentiate the two.
Whether are there factions in this?
Well, I don't know. Oh. Like, I don't know who's the bad people and who are the good people. Like, okay. There's so many different points of like recognizing characters, I don't know if they're all just good friends and they're like, oh, you go, no, you go, no, you go, I insist. And yeah, like, I don't know if that's the case or if it's like one group is like, oh, no, we should definitely have the person who goes. And the other one's like, no, we should definitely have the one. I've never seen the musical. I know the musical itself was filmed and then put in theaters at one point in time. I remember that. But I don't know enough of this and really care, to be honest, like to know enough of this to really know if there are like things like that. Because for me, if you're having a competition, so oddly enough, you consider T.S. Eliot's poem has nothing to do with this musical.
I would assume it's very hard to put in references about UFOs into a poem about cats.
You never know. You never know. But it's I don't know if you've ever seen, it's a 1970s movie called Logan's Run.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
So Logan's Run, essentially, I don't know if you remember, but at the end, towards the end, when they finally make it out of the city and they meet the old man in like Washington, D.C., he spends the entire time quoting the poem that the cats is based on.
Okay.
You don't notice like all the cats that are all around and everything?
It's been a while since I've seen it.
Well, needless to say, but the idea that like you have this group of people who are hoping that at a certain point in time they get ascended or renewed, so to speak, so that they can live again kind of thing, mm-hmm. kind of seems a little similar on base with this. But in this one, you know who the different colors are. You know who the different factions are. You even know who the policing individuals are, such as like the Sandman, which that's what the main character's role is in it. He's like a police officer for this group. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's interesting. I'm not too sure how that rolls, but I just don't get why they decided to make it into a movie.
Because everyone else is making things into a movie, you gotta have movies to put on your streaming service, or you've got no content.
Yeah, but it's, if this was going straight to Disney Plus or something, then it's not going to Disney Plus. Well, this wouldn't even go to any kind of Plus. Like, I wouldn't even send this to the dollar store. This is a horrible thing. This is a bad idea. Like, there are YouTube channels. I don't know if you've seen it lately. They've been gaining a lot more steam, and I've been watching them since the beginning. Called Corridor Crew. Hmm. They're a YouTube channel who focuses, they're a YouTube channel of a effects artist company who started doing these effects artist reacts videos. Mm-hmm. So they'll take special effects from all different movies and whatnot, and they'll sit down, actual effects artists, and they'll critique all the different things. They're the ones, I don't know if you remember, they're the ones who actually quote unquote corrected or fixed the Scorpion King in The Mummy Returns.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they fixed, quote-unquote, his face and put a more corrected version of The Rock's face on it instead of it looking all funky. Plus, they also fixed the lighting and everything in the scene as well. And it was actually kind of decent.
Oh.
But besides that, they now do, like, effects artist reacts where they take all these instances and they sit down and they talk about it and whether if it's a good work of special effects or bad work, you know, CG or special. And they talked about this one. And it's true. Like, the most unsettling thing about this is how much it just seems like the face does not match the rest of the body. Like, the face just seems kind of like what you said, pasted on this weird looking caricature.
Well, like, the thing about the faces to me is that it looks like, when I look at their faces, it looks like part of their face is missing. Like, they cropped it too close and it's not all there. And
yeah.
Something's missing. That's why it looks disturbing.
Yeah.
It's getting in that uncanny valley.
So, we know this is a bad trailer, and honestly, for every reason. By the way, I don't think we've mentioned it, and we should have said it at the beginning. We are recording here live at Oblivion Comics and Coffee, and I'll probably go in post-editing and add that in there. Be like, by the way, this was recorded at Oblivion Comics and Coffee. The episode was recorded live in front of a live studio audience kind of thing. I don't know. But So we want to give a shout out to Oblivion Comics and Coffee and the crew here and allowing us to record within their great space. Yeah. It's really cool. And if you're hearing the music and everything, it's this is all part of the aesthetic here. So if you're looking for a great cup of coffee and an awesome comic book or two to check out, not to mention the great events they have here, check out Oblivion Comics and Coffee on Facebook, Instagram, and on their website. They got a ton of stuff going on. So besides that lovely fact that we had to make sure we dropped, what other trailers have you seen that were just completely bad? Like, because the only one, like, I try to think, for me, I try to think from, like, major motion films and, like, the more larger scale. But honestly, Spence, the worst trailer I have ever seen is your fault. And it is that stupid.
Oh, yes.
Amazing yes. Bulk trailer. It's because you get essentially the entire taste of what the film was, and we still saw the movie. And it wasn't a simple movie. It was a 2 freaking hour movie.
It did not need to be that long.
Like, the trailer was just enough for me to see and be like, yeah, you know what, that's enough, you know, that's a good enough loss. Actually, to my dignity.
This is gonna be crazy to say.
What?
But I feel like that's kind of the best trailer ever, because it gives you the entire, you don't even need to see the movie. That's everything you need to see right there.
Yeah, but still, like, I don't need, like, I didn't need that in the first place. And the only reason why I fell on the sword for that one was because you wanted to see it. And I'm like, you know what? We're friends. I'm going to do this for him. And I sat through, it was you, me, and Katie, and we literally sat through 2 hours of that movie. Katie's a good friend of ours. And for God knows why she sat through it. I have no idea. But the first thing Katie said when we finished, she's like, well, that's 2 hours I'm not getting back in my life.
It's true.
It is very true. But okay, aside from that one, what bigger film's trailer do you think didn't do it justice? Because I'm trying to think.
Like, they didn't do a movie that came out?
Or
like,
just it was just a bad trailer.
The Sonic trailer.
That's Gangster's a great Paradise. Point. That is a great point. Like, trying to remix Gangster's Paradise to work within that trailer was the worst. Like, effects aside, because he looks completely horrible. And actually, this is turning into a promotion for that YouTube channel, but Corridor Crew actually did a effects artist react to that one too as well. And they were talking about how just everything that was off-putting about it was, you know, just wrong.
See, that was a trailer where everybody had something to say. Like,
it really was.
Because, like, left and right, people were even, like, fixing it. It's like, hey, I'm not even that good, and I did this. And I'm like, that's better. What is happening? That doesn't make any sense.
It makes you think, like, all the memes that you saw when you saw the posters of just his legs or something else. Like,
oh,
all
those, gosh, those, like, leg posters were something else.
But even those were, like, as cartoonish as they were, they weren't too off from the mark. That's the scariest part. It's like, oh, my gosh, these people probably, all the people who made the memes were actually part of the effects team. They're like, oh, they'll love us now. Like, oh, people are laughing. Just say it's, you know, comedic art. It's a parody. It's whatever.
You don't do that with Gangster's Paradise. I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh. But it's weird how we push, like, naturally we push out a lot of the bad ones to make room for just strictly good ones. And, like, I can remember a lot of good trailers. Like, we were just talking about it. We talked about we reviewed Hobbs and Shaw a couple weeks ago, Lesson 174, I believe. And in talking about the trailer was good. I liked the trailer. Yeah. Like, I got a great taste of the two protagonists. They were people we remember. They're familiar. You know, even if you weren't familiar with the franchise, you're familiar with the actors and the personas.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then you get somebody as great as Idris Elba, and he's like, I'm Black Superman. You know, like, yeah, like
the best line.
That's what Spencer says every time he goes to the gym. He gets ready. He's like, I'm Black Superman. But, like, you get enough taste of it. Like, oh, okay, this is going to happen. He's going to go back home. It's going to be this. It's going to be, you know, there's going to be confrontation. It's great. And then you get this trailer, and immediately everybody wants to push it out of their mind. And so if you were one of those people who, like, really try to push it out of your mind and we just brought it back, you know, hey, sorry, whatever. But if you haven't had a chance to check it out, you should definitely check it out. And let us know your thoughts on our Facebook page at facebook.com/FromLostVerse, or our Twitter page at twitter.com/philosophy101, or on Instagram. We are on Instagram. We just don't take advantage of it, but we will be doing a post on it and possibly a poll. We'll see. You know, what did you think of the Cats trailer? Was it good? Was it bad? Let us know, because honestly, it is a point of conversation for a lot of people. And I'm pretty sure, and I haven't met one yet, but I'm pretty sure there are people out there who actually maybe like the trailer.
Good on them. Like, if they can find something they like, that's cool.
It's really confusing, Spence. Sorry. Like, why would anybody? But I mean, yeah, sure.
I'm not trying to bash people for things they like. But
it's like, some people like getting bashed in the head with a rock. I mean, hey, to each his own.
Yeah.
But it's just, I mean, it's just one of those things. Like I said, having those three pillars of recognizing a good trailer, you know, really help us as the audience kind of see like, oh, okay, that's cool. I'm not familiar with the franchise, but it looked like a good trailer and it's worth checking out. Even if, here's the thing, a lot of times the trailers have nothing to do with the movies, or sometimes the trailer will deviate so far from the actual movie itself that it's more like a just, you know, redirecting kind of thing. Like, oh, by the way, look that way because that's where the movie's at.
Or sometimes the trailer will just lie to you. I'm looking at you, Disney, and all your Marvel trailers.
Oh my gosh.
Just recorrecting
like
things.
Like, the Hulk was not in Infinity War. But like, for instance, like during the 50s, I don't know if you remember an original movie called Miracle on 34th Street.
Yeah.
So I was recently at a festival hosted by Leonard Maltin. Leonard Maltin is one of the most well-known movie reviewers in the entire world. Mm-hmm. He's been around for ages. He's a great guy, great. And I was at I was invited by his daughter to go to his movie festival, his first ever movie festival. And he was doing these things where he would show a movie, and right before the movie, he would show like a little short film or something cool. Mm-hmm. And before one of the films we saw, he showed the trailer for Miracle on 34th Street. But he was like, I want you to take notice of it because this movie shows nothing from the film. And yet, this is a good trailer. And essentially, it's these movie execs who are sitting in this small theater to watch the trailer. And the president of the studio is like, nope, I don't like it. We got to redo it. We got to, you know, this says nothing about the movie. How do I know it's not this? How do I know it's this? Whatever. Redo it. Rethink it. Get it back. Whatever. And then he walks outside and he runs into all these stars at the time, like all these movie stars. And he's like, hey, have you seen Miracle on 34th Street? And they're like, oh, yeah, it's this. Oh, yeah, it's that. And it's literally every bullet point that was mentioned in the trailer that he had just seen. He's like, oh, it's groovy. Oh, it's manly. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. Oh, it's whatever. And so everyone ultimately tells him he should go and see the movie. So the exec goes back to the theater. He's like, all right, let's roll the movie. He sees the film entirely. At the end, he's like, oh, yeah, it should totally be, the trailer should totally say this and this and this and this. All the things that were in the original trailer. And they're like, you're right, boss. Yep, you get it again. Whatever, like all facetious, right? And essentially, that's what the trailer is. But it gives you this idea of like, okay, the movie has something for men, women, families. It's heartfelt. It's groovy. Because it says groovy in the trailer. And you'll like it. And I mean, honestly, the trailer shows no footage of the film at all. But it's engaging enough because you recognize the people in there. You're recognizing like the drive of the story. Like, okay, they're trying to see how best to pitch this to people. Has nothing to do with the movie, has more to do with the back end of it, but it was a great trailer. And it's funny because Leonard Maltin was tickled pink as to how like everybody was trying at the time to like showcase their monsters here, their characters there, this, this, that, whatever. When in actuality, it's like, you know, you didn't have to do all that. You just had to be smart. And that's what I think a lot of trailers are forgetting these days.
To be smart.
To be smart.
Yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, it's just, thank you for that response and affirmation. I think it's one of those things where it's like, Cats, this trailer, first off, this movie is not a smart idea. I'm pretty sure you're going to have like those older people who are going to be like, oh, I remember when I was a little girl and I went to the theater and my dad took me to go see the musical and it was so wonderful. And this movie, oh, it's just like a, you know, I'm bringing back to my childhood. And then you're going to have everybody else, all the other 99% of us are like, why was this made?
Well, that also goes into like the whole, why has Disney been remaking all of their movies?
Oh, because, well, you want to get into that conversation because that's a whole can of worms that we can. It's like the idea behind the thought process for Disney creating what they're creating. Mm. It's like they're working on a system of redundancy. It's like 20, 30 years ago, these films really rocked the world. 25 years ago, these films really rocked the world. Let's bring them back and call them quote unquote live action.
See, they're getting to the point where they've been around long enough and have enough material that at some point they'll just stop and then they'll just circle everything around. And so it's just the same movies coming out every 50 years. That's the dystopian future we live in.
I don't know. But here's the thing. Like, if you've seen a great trailer, if you know of a great trailer, let us know. We want to see them. We want to check them out because we want to know, like, what are some of the things that people, regular people out there, like, what do you consider a good trailer? What do you consider a bad trailer? What are some of like the defining facets of it? Like for me, those are the three that fit best for me. You know, you recognize who your protagonist is, you recognize the universe they're in, and you recognize the journey that they're on. Like I think with those three pieces of information, that kind of gives you a decent idea. You know, I have no idea who the main character is in this movie for Cats. Like there's four or five different people they're focusing on.
Well, I would assume it's the white cat.
But then for a little bit of time, you have, what's her name, Jennifer Hudson, who is kind of the vocalist throughout the entire trailer. Mm-hmm. How do you know she's not the focus? And then there's Judi Dench.
Well, she's too expensive. That's
and then
why
Ian McKellen.
He's probably also too expensive.
And then that's you have why. James Corden.
Well, he's taking a break from hosting the Late Late Show.
And then you have Rebel Wilson.
She's there.
And she's there. But like who's the focus here? Yes, you see this one white cat, but how do you know she's not like just the apprentice or she's like the person who's going to be
the
following
apprentice.
I don't know what's in this movie. Okay, for all I know, they're like Donald Trump has a role in this
oh
one
my
too
gosh.
Who knows? But you take all those facets, like I don't know who the main character is. I cannot for the life of me understand the universe that they're in, and I have no clue what the purpose of this is. Like, what's the journey? Based on the trailer, I have no idea what the heck they're going towards. Like, what's the end goal?
No, I have no idea.
It sounds like you want to see the trailer again.
I don't want to see the trailer, and I'm not going to go see the movie. I'm going to go watch the new Star Wars movie instead.
The new Star Wars one? Speaking of disappointments, this is where we're going to kind of change gears a bit. We did talk about it in the main episode. If you didn't get a chance to, the episode was less than
175,
where we talked about our review of Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Mm. If you haven't had a chance to check that out, please do so, because it was a great episode. We had a lot of fun. But at the end of the episode, we did mention that we were going to be bringing our thoughts about the ending of the film here and kind of piecing that together.
Right.
So, nevertheless, one of the biggest issues for us about the film, and mind you, this is where we do get into spoiler territory. So if you haven't seen the film and you don't really want to get spoiled, this is where you might want to hit pause or fast forward and kind of head over to like the last 5 minutes of the episode. But give everybody a moment to do so. Okay. And so at the end of the film, obviously the little girl whose name was Sarah.
Sarah Bellows was
she was the
ghost. Main antagonist.
That's right.
Stella was the girl that you're thinking.
Stella!
About.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's how I remembered her name.
Stella is able to stop Sarah from killing anybody else. She and her friend Manny?
No.
Ramon.
Yeah. It's like that or something.
Ramon Morales. Her and Ramon are able to survive, and Sarah ultimately tells Stella that she needs to tell her story and continue telling stories. And so at the end of it all the spirits go away, but nobody comes back.
Right.
So everybody who's been taken away, this isn't Jumanji apparently. So nobody comes back after the whole everything happens.
More movies should run by Jumanji rules.
Oh, completely. Like, all right, everything's done. Let's go back to the beginning. One thing I want to note, Dean Norris, the dad to Stella, is completely underutilized in this movie.
Why was he?
I don't have no idea. Like, I was literally hoping that he would do like a whole Stella, they're minerals. They're not rocks, they're minerals. A little bit of a Breaking Bad joke. But yeah, he's underutilized immensely in this movie. He's in it like maybe a couple times, has a phone call. But other than that, it's nothing else.
Yeah.
But at the end, she saves who's left, like whoever's left. And it's essentially just this monologue as the film kind of ends out. They decide they're moving away from the town. Ramon gets sent to war because he's being drafted.
Right.
Because he's apparently been a draft dodger this entire time.
Right.
And in the midst of them choosing, in the midst of everything kind of wrapping up, Stella and her dad decide that they're going to move.
Is that what happened?
Well, it looks like, because they have everything in the back of their car.
Is that what they were doing? I thought they were going on a long... See, and this is...
So this is confusion.
The ending of this movie adds way too much, way too quickly.
So at the end of the movie, you have Stella and her dad in the truck, and she's talking about how she's going to still continue to keep working to finding her friends. She's going to try to find a way to bring them back. And that now that her dad, and Ruthie know the truth, they're going to go and figure out a way. And the shot goes from the top of the truck driving away to the inside where it shows Stella, her dad, and in the back seat is Ruthie.
Right.
And then the film ends.
Yes.
And I have no idea what any of it means.
Yeah, like, just the idea that she's like, oh, I can bring my friends back. Like, how? You can't do magic like Sarah Bellows can.
You can't do magic.
Well, she can't. That was the problem she kept running into. Magical creatures were coming after her, and she couldn't stop them.
Well, I mean, she was able to stop everything when she wrote in the book
but
in her blood.
But she didn't do it, really. She had to go to Sarah, ultimately, to get her to stop.
Not to mention, quick side note, but I really want that pen from the movie. Like that,
that actually did look like
it looked like a really cool pen. I'm like, I want that. I will prick every finger if I need to just make it work. But it doesn't. I think the biggest problem that this film has is it doesn't wrap up efficiently or adequately.
Yeah.
Because you're left with this idea of like, okay, just like the quandary you had and the perspective I had, I thought they were moving, mm-hmm. but you're never really known of like what the dad does for a living, so you don't know if like maybe
I don't even know what he thinks about this whole situation where she walks up with this girl who has half her face cut open. It's like,
it's true.
So my friends were magicked away, and I need to go find them. We're going on a road trip, Dad.
Right? Like, how does that make sense at all?
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Yeah, I don't understand, like, how she got him on board, and, like, how they're even... Where are they going? What are they going to do?
I haven't the slightest clue. But it's a frustration point for me, because it's like, I like the movie.
Yeah. It was going great right up to then.
It was. It's like there's nothing lending it to like, okay, they're driving and like Sarah's ghost is following behind. Or like they're driving away and...
Even if like Sarah had just handed her like something with like a name or something, like some starting point where like Stella could be like, Dad, I really need to research this one thing or whatever. Like... You know, you could probably make that work.
True.
Just point them in a direction of, like, I think I can go somewhere with this and get people back.
Yeah.
Like, that would be enough to end it on.
100%, I agree. But without any of that, it just leaves it at a point where you're like, huh. So they're driving away. They got a lot of junk in the back of the truck. And Ruthie, whom the sheriff at one point in time had said, because they're like, oh, we saved Ruthie. We know we saved Ruthie. And the sheriff's like, Ruthie's lost her marbles. Girl's losing, you know, crazier than a sack of potatoes. Like, like something to that effect. I'm like, it's okay. So she's out of the question. Like, even though they tried their best to save her, she still was gone. And then at the end of the film, you see her in the back of the truck smiling or whatever. Like, honestly, in my thoughts, I thought Ruthie was a ghost. Like, maybe she died. Maybe she killed herself. And
no, there's no precedent for that, for, like, Stella being able to see a ghost.
Well, she saw Sarah.
Yeah, but, like, Sarah's magic, though. That's the problem. Sarah is a magical being.
Maybe, I don't even know.
Yeah, that's the problem. Because, I think Ruthie is fine. And I think this sheriff is an idiot. Mostly because he's dead now.
That is true. The sheriff is dead now.
Mirai is like, she was just screaming about spiders at the time he saw her. It's like, well, that's crazy.
Yeah.
No one has spiders breaking out of their face despite a very ridiculous gash on her face.
Oh my gosh. But the pop, that was just horrendous. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Like having spiders
whole
scene was just bad. Like I was like borderline arachnophobic growing up. And I kind of got over it. And then I saw that scene in the film and I'm like, ugh, just no. No. So were there any other issues that you had with the end of the film?
No, those are really the main ones. It's just like, I'm okay with them leaving to go try to fix this, but I don't see what you're going to do with literally zero information.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Well, there you go. But yeah, I mean, honestly, it's one of those things where if you have a chance, check out the film. If you haven't heard the review, we do have a review on our website at filmlossifers.com where you can check out all of our episodes, less than 175. It is a non-spoiler review, so go out there, check it out, and tell us what you think. All right, well, that about wraps up another awesome extra credit. Remember, as we said, the website, you can also check us out on Facebook page at facebook.com/filmlossifers. Or on Twitter at twitter.com/philosophy101 and on Instagram at philosophy101. This was fun. And again, we want to throw out a thanks to Oblivion Comics and Coffee for allowing us to record here. It's been great. And this is always an awesome place to get your coffee, your comics fix, and an opportunity just to hang out with like people who love just nerd stuff. Like, seriously, this place is like a haven.
We're all over this place.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's wonderful. So. But yeah, Spence, do you want to close us out?
Hey, this has been Extra Credit with the Filmlossifers, and we'll check you out next time.
That'll do.